A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to The Upswing, as always, presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. We thank Horicon for their support. Today, we're taking flight with a local company. It's making some national headlines with their expansion. Jet Out is based here in Milwaukee, seeking to innovate the private airline aviation space with a pretty unique model. The leadership team is on the front lines monitoring the travel season that's marked by record demand, some nationwide delays, a lot of challenges from the government shutdown, too. It's tough to navigate, but it means opportunities, too, for sure. Joining me is Matt Wild. Matt is the chief operating officer at Jet Out. We're going to talk about the company's origins, their business model, and what travelers can expect with everything happening in the skies today. But don't worry, we're also going to talk about commercial travel for people like us, right? We can fly commercial, get in and out of MKE really easily. Airport Director Brian Dranzik will join us to fill us in on demand, which airlines are coming and going into MKE, how they recruit for new airlines, and what's new for the holidays at Mitchell International, and much more. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The government shutdown, holiday demand, causing some challenges in our travel. There's always ways, though, I think, to get through it all. So I was curious about private airfare, what that model is, how the travel works, and frankly, how it all works from a price standpoint. Matt Wild is the chief operating officer of Jet Out, company based and started right here in Milwaukee. Matt, I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be with us.
Thanks for having me on, Jeff.
Of course. So I want to get to the business model and the founding of the company and kind of walk through everything from a business standpoint. But I have to ask, just to begin, like, is private flight just not approachable for the typical flyer these days? Like, someone like me, I'm just going to fly to Orlando. Am I going to call you?
You know, Jeff, that's a great question that we get asked a lot. Private aviation, with Jet Out's model, we were able to bring a lot of affordability into a private aviation product that previously was maybe not accessible for some groups. I would say our national competitors typically target people that have a net worth of over $100 million. Jet Out is targeting around the $20 million net worth. Okay. So we've brought that down by a substantial amount, but it's still not, you know, the most affordable way to travel, but it is the most convenient way to travel.
Yeah. So walk us through the ownership model, if you will. You know, what inspired that from a business standpoint, and how does it differ from kind of the traditional, if you will, private jet models out there?
Yeah. So Jet Out is a private co-ownership fractionalized product. We buy brand new airplanes from the factory. We then bring them into our program. We divide those up into 1/16th fractions, which we then either sell as a co-ownership interest of the airplane, or we can do one-year leases on a 1/16th of that airplane. And that gives those co-owners 20 travel days of use on that airplane or any airplanes on the Jet Out fleet per year.
Okay. And is your typical customer then an individual? Is it a company? Is it?
It's a combination.
A combination.
Okay. We actually specifically target having a combination. So we know that the private flyers that might own a share or lease a share of the aircraft, they're going to use the airplane predominantly Thursday through Monday when they're traveling for their to their second homes. They may be going on a trip for the weekend.
So mainly busy executives, entrepreneurs. Right.
Exactly. But our business travelers tend to travel Tuesday through Thursday. And so to fully utilize all the days of the week and of the use of the airplane and maximize the efficiency of the airplane, we'll target having a combination of both private owners on the airplane and businesses on that same aircraft.
So in terms of the growth strategy and just to anchor it a little bit to the origin story of the business, your fleet has grown rapidly, founded and started here in Milwaukee. Talk us through the expansion into Dallas-Fort Worth and what's kind of fueling the growth.
Yeah, as we, you know, we founded this program, this company here in Milwaukee, we filled a need that Milwaukee had for a co-ownership-based product, a fractional-type-like program here in Wisconsin. The airplanes that are based in Wisconsin serve the southeast Wisconsin area all the way up to Green Bay, Madison, and then that also serves customers that are based in Chicago. As we were looking to expand our operations, we, from the get-go, always knew that we wanted to take our base model, which is what we have here in Wisconsin, where our employees, our maintenance techs, airplanes, they're all based here, and we sell those shares to people that live within the region here of the Milwaukee region. We wanted to take that model and expand it to other cities around the United States, and we wanted to replicate that. So that means those operations in South Florida, Dallas-Fort Worth, Scottsdale, there's 12 to 15 employees that work for JetOut that live in those cities. Those airplanes are based there. Those employees are part of the local community. They're contributing to the community, but they're also working for JetOut, and they're providing a consistent customer experience for the owners that we have living in those cities.
So what's your team from a headcount standpoint look like in Milwaukee and then across the country?
Overall, for the total company, we're over 110 employees now.
Okay.
We have roughly 30 or 40 of those that live outside of Milwaukee, but a predominant chunk of our employees do live in southeast Wisconsin. Our headquarters is here in southeast Wisconsin and Milwaukee. Okay. Our operations control center is based here. Those are employees that are licensed dispatchers that run basically a 24/7 operation here, where they're monitoring the flights, weather, any sort of changes in the national airspace. Those employees, a lot of them, we're bringing them in to Milwaukee. We're moving them here. We're the only company that has licensed dispatch center based here in southeast Wisconsin. So we're moving those employees here.
We're talking with Matt Wild from JetOut. So, Matt, where do you see Milwaukee's place in JetOut's kind of evolving national network? And are there more regional opportunities being Milwaukee? We talk from a commercial airport standpoint, you know, maybe there's some competition between us and Chicago in terms of direct flights and where the consumer wants to go. How do you see that in terms of regional cooperation or competition?
Yeah, JetOut has found a market in these smaller communities. So Milwaukee's a great example. We don't have as many direct flights as maybe O'Hare does.
Right.
But then you get into cities like Appleton, Green Bay, Oshkosh, you know, they're really limited on what they have for air travel, if they have air travel at all. And they've seen a real reduction in the last 5 years in the airlines and the number of flights that are serving those communities. So if you're a business owner and you live in Appleton, Wisconsin, and you want to compete on a national stage, which might require you to be able to go travel to visit your customers or future customers and be able to get back in the same day, it's really hard to do on the airlines from those towns. That's where JetOut is be able to really find a niche market.
We're talking with Matt Wild from JetOut. When we come back, Matt, I want to dive into the government shutdown and any impact on your side. But then I want to zoom out a bit into the demand and the pricing from a consumer standpoint, if you will, and got some industry questions for you. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. So, Matt, as we're looking at the impacts of the government shutdown, kind of causing some headaches on the commercial side for everyday travelers, how is that and kind of new FAA mandates affected what you're doing from a private jet standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, as this past weekend, the FAA did roll out some reductions on both the airline side and on the side, on the private aviation side. Just on Monday night or Sunday night at midnight, they came out and said there's 12 airports that are completely forbidden for private aviation right now. There's an additional 28 that are on a reduction in flow. That does affect us as well. We're monitoring that on a daily basis. My operations control center is watching all the flight plans. I mean, we're doing, you know, 20, 30 flights a day. So you start looking at all that. You know, we're frequently into high traffic areas, the big metro areas. And so
where are the biggest destinations out of Milwaukee?
Our Milwaukee biggest destination is probably going to South Florida.
Okay.
Whether it's West Coast, East Coast, to South Florida.
A lot of dual residency there from your clients,
absolutely.
Probably.
But those, you know, that all has to flow through one control center in Jacksonville. And so we're definitely monitoring that. We are, you know, have already reached out to our customers that had trips into like the New York City metro area and said, hey, we think it would be best if we repositioned your flight to this airport versus what you originally had scheduled, because it's probably going to reduce your delays.
Yeah.
So we're monitoring that. We have a couple airplanes that are at the Fort Lauderdale Airport, which is one of the airports that has a 10% reductions.
Okay.
So we're actively monitoring that. You know, it comes down to, I have a whole team. That's all they do is watch weather and air traffic control, and we have to be flexible and willing to adapt.
So from a customer standpoint on your side, do businesses use private airfare, and do they look at it on a per cost basis or on an annual basis? Because if I'm looking at, hey, as a consumer, I'm going to fly to Orlando, I can get a Spirit round trip flight for what? $187, maybe a one-way flight cheaper. Is that, how does your customer look at it?
Our business customers look at it more on what is their total cost of that employee that they are moving. So if I'm going to fly an employee, so let's just use my example. If I'm going to send my employee on an airline, which I frequently do, those employees will probably have to go the day before. And they have to get there. And then I have to provide them a hotel. And I have to provide them probably a steak dinner because they're going to go out on the company's dime. They're going to have a rental car. Then they're going to do their meeting the next day. And then they're probably not going to maybe come home till the following day. So now I've lost an employee from the office 3 days for a trip that could have been done in maybe an afternoon. And so the customers that we have that are utilizing business aviation to grow their businesses and maintain their businesses, they're looking at what is the cost per employee and the, what's the total cost of having them on that on the road trip versus in the office? What's the value of money?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, my business sells time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
And it's a commodity.
Yeah. Very much so. So when you look at the future of that business, where are those customers coming from? Is it more businesses? Is it more families? Is it excursions, if you will? And just talk to us about like future business lanes. I mean, you're a sales guy, right, at heart?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely,
yeah. How are you going to grow revenue?
You know, it's a combination of all the things you just mentioned, right? Businesses are going to continue to use business aviation. They're going to, as businesses grow, they're going to need to be able to reach more customers, get to more locations. Business aviation allows them to do that. For the private traveler, you might have a second home in Florida, maybe the Caribbean, maybe Scottsdale. You want to be able to get to that home, but also be able to get back for Monday for meetings. You know, it's harder and harder to do that sometimes with the airlines or to maximize your time. So we're seeing just a growth of, you know, high net worth individuals as the stock market continues to grow. People are selling companies. The population is aging. There's a share of wealth. All those are different avenues or lanes, as you describe them.
And does loyalty come to the company or is it a certain airplane that they're flying? Like, how do you look at that?
I think it comes back to what is the service the company provides? Yeah. And that's where loyalty comes through, is not only the customer service side, but what is the efficiency of the company that to in turn give that back to the co-owner in our case.
We're talking with Matt Wild from Jet Out. Matt, as we look into 2026-27, give us a couple predictions for the aviation industry in your space.
We're going to continue to see growth. We've seen a lot of growth even this year in the private aviation realm of when it comes to charter aircraft flights. So I think there's going to be continue to be growth there. I think we're going to see a change of customer asking for newer aircraft. So we are seeing in our industry a lot of older aircraft that continue to be utilized on the charter markets and other markets. We're seeing a shift of that customer request to drive towards a newer airplane. They think, if we're driving a brand new car, why am I flying a 25, 30-year-old, 40-year-old airplane? Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to continue to push.
Yeah. What in terms of, I mean, we mentioned this at the beginning, but what myths or misconceptions are out there in your space? It sounds almost funny to talk about private jets when it may be unapproachable for some people, but the reality is it's an easy option for many and most business executives.
Yeah.
What myth are you busting every day?
I would say the number one myth in our industry is that we are hauling around professional athletes and people from Hollywood on a daily basis. And that's further from the truth. Okay. These airplanes have family members. They've got business leaders. They've got mid-level managers a lot in the back of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's not just the CEO or the CFO that's out flying around.
Yeah.
It is, you know, these are middle managers going to visit different locations, sales individuals going to visit their customers, or, you know, like I said, it's family members going to their second home. It's not members of, you know, the professional athletes playing on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. All right. We do a couple closing lightning round questions with you.
Sure.
So if you're traveling, whether it's commercial or on one of your jets, is it a movie? Is it podcasts? What do you do to, or are you just working all the time when you're in the air?
It really depends on the time of the day. If I'm flying airlines, I tend to be the person that gets up and catches that 6 a.m. flight.
Okay.
Because I want to maximize the amount of days that I'm here in Milwaukee with my family.
All right.
And I'm going to get up really early and I'm going to catch that 6 a.m. flight to go wherever I got to go for the day. And in that case, I'm probably going to try to sleep for a couple hours, because I usually have a full day of meetings and even into the evenings of meetings ahead of me. If it's during the day, if I'm on, you know, one of the jet out aircraft, which, you know, in that case, I'm probably working. You know, there are internet on every one of our airplanes.
Right.
And so we're fully connected when we're flying in the jet out fleet. So I'm probably working.
So if it's an afternoon or evening flight, alcohol or no alcohol?
Depends if I'm done for the day. You know, if I'm done for the day and it's been a good day of meetings and I'm going to relax, I might have a drink.
All right. And then your one travel tip that kind of flies under the radar for maybe you and your family.
Ooh, that's a good one. My travel tip would be, I've got two.
Got
avoid
it.
Connections as much as possible.
All right.
The second one would be sit towards the front of the airplane, because that's the only way to get off. It'll save you 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
If you have to do a connection, that'll save you more than you believe.
Okay.
And then the third one is look at what airplane you're going to be on. If you know if it's a regional jet, pack your suitcase, everything into a duffel bag, because it'll fit into that small little overhead above you.
Okay.
If you're on a bigger airplane, then you can take the rollerblade.
All right.
That'll also save you 15 minutes if you have to make a connection.
All right. That's what you want. Convenience very much drives a lot, especially as we travel through the skies. Matt, I appreciate your time, and all the best this holiday season.
Thanks.
Coming up next, we will talk to Brian Dranzik, the airport director at Milwaukee County at MKE. Brian will drill in on the commercial side of what's happening in the airline business this holiday season. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Brian Dranzik, airport director at Milwaukee County, joins us in studio. Brian, I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
So a lot of flights getting canceled, but that's life, right? You got to adjust. You got to adapt and you got to board and you got to move on. But Mitchell International is not, of course, one of the 40 airports targeted for cuts right now with the shutdown. Mm-hmm. But you're a connecting hub with Chicago, Denver, Atlanta, all affected. Just day to day, how you dealing with customer traffic?
Sure. So for us, it's really just trying to help people, you know, make their way on the journey. And we don't really have any input into that decision making. You know, that's all done through the airlines and the airline scheduling. So, you know, our messaging to the public is just make sure they're keeping in contact with their airlines. You know, check in, see if there's been any cancellation, any delays, things like that. And usually the airlines are fairly good at this point about letting people know in advance. So
you're getting the text notifications, right. You're staying updated easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of airlines, so Spirit Airlines recently announced it's leaving Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. What does that mean from a traveler and revenue standpoint for the airport? And then I want to talk about alternatives and just what that recruitment retention process looks like from you and your team.
Sure. So, you know, Spirit's been going through some financial struggles. They've gone into bankruptcy once again. And for a while there, we were actually faring fairly well through that. There was a number of city cuts that had happened earlier. We were out of those rounds, but I think it's just gotten to the point where they've had to make other cuts. So we weren't alone in that regard. When they did make their announcement, that also included places like St. Louis and others. They had pared down the service pretty substantially. So right now they're basically only flying to Orlando and on a pretty limited schedule. So
it's a pretty good deals for one way to Orlando. I saw like $29 the other day. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if that quite sustains an airline, but no, there's, you know, there's, as you can imagine, there's a lot of service on that. And for this time of year, you know, we've got three other carriers on that. And likely, I think what we'll see is maybe some of those other carriers beefing up that service to there and potentially some of the other cities that they serve. So, you know, we're always talking with airlines, all the airline partners that we have right now currently, and also new carriers that we're trying to attract in the market. So it's a pretty ongoing conversation. You know, we're talking about they see what bookings look like, and they have their market information that they're working off of. But what we try to do is infill that information and talk about what's going on in the city. You know, what are the positive things going on, to give them a little bit more of that local flavor. And you know, one of the things we're trying to do as an airport to stay competitive against our peers is keep our costs as low as possible. I frankly think that's why Spirit hung in with us as long as they did. Mm-hmm. Other carriers as well. So, you know, we're doing the things I think we can on our side to make the airport a competitive operating environment for them. And what we always try to let the public know is it's important that they utilize the airport, you know, because airlines are a business, and it's a tough business, and they got to make a profit, and so they're going to go where people are wanting to go or wanting to, you know, fly out of, which it's important given how close we are to a place like Chicago.
And when you look at the airport as, I mean, truly a mini city, and your background in urban planning, how do the updates of the amenities at an airport affect how an airline views that airport partnership?
Sure. You know, that's, I think, one of the unique and kind of fun things about working at the airport and in that environment is it is a little mini city. And so we're always looking at what are those changes that we do that makes it attractive for the customer, which ultimately helps the airline. You know, so there's a couple ways I look at it. One is, you know, the things we're doing on the airfield, which of course is all about, you know, the network that's important for operations. Mm-hmm. But then what's going on inside the facility? So we've gone through a number of concessions updates, and mm-hmm. some of the things we've done is tried to partner with local businesses and operators and things like that to showcase what Milwaukee's all about. So in a couple of weeks here, we've got Central Standard opening up in the C Concourse area. Which
they have an exact date for that opening. I've seen some updated pictures. It looks great.
Yeah, it's going to be a really nice addition, I think. And I think that one's coming open in about a week or so. So it's coming up pretty quickly here, which is great because we'll hopefully get that in before the holiday season.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really important for the airlines because the revenue that we collect off of things like concession sales are the things that lower the overall operating cost. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so we want to make it attractive. We want to make it something that people will enjoy and make money for us so that we can keep those costs low for the carriers.
Talking with Brian Dranzik, Airport Director at Milwaukee County at MKE. So, Brian, as you look at numbers this year compared to last year, where are we at with total travelers, and what are you anticipating for next year?
Sure. So we saw a bit of a downturn this year, and I think, you know, that started with a few factors, you know, some economic uncertainty. You know, now we're going, you know, we're trying to make our way out of this government shutdown situation. So there's been some things that have happened throughout the year, you know, airline issues as well and industry issues. So
some staffing challenges.
Staffing challenges, you know, tower issues out in the East Coast, things like that. So, you know, there's been, you know, some challenges within the industry, along with increased fare prices and things. So I think a lot of that's got to settle out. So I don't, you know, I think we're going to have lower numbers than we did last year. There's just some things I think within the industry that's got to settle out, you know, like we talked about earlier with Spirit Airlines, you know, being one of those players that others I think will adjust and, you know, we'll find that leveling spot. And beyond that, I think we're poised well for additional growth. So I think in a long term, medium to long term outlook, you know, I think we're looking good. You know, I foresee improvements going forward.
Yeah. When we come back, I want to get into some updates on the new international terminal, Concourse E, how that redevelopment project's going. And I want to get your thoughts, Brian, on just traveler loyalty to specific airlines and operators and how that has changed through the years. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're looking at holiday travel in the air and much, much more. Brian Dranzik from Milwaukee County and MKE joins us. Brian, thanks again for your time. I appreciate it.
Sure.
So can you give an update on the international terminal and Concourse E and how that project is coming along?
Sure. So that project kicked off a couple of months ago, it's an exciting project for us. It's taken quite a bit of effort to get to this point, coming out of COVID and things like that. But the project's underway. It's about a two-year project. It'll hopefully complete around this time of year in 2027, just in time for our charter season to kick off. And so that project, just to kind of refresh on that, is it's taking the old E-Concourse down. We're replacing that with a smaller, more modest facility that kind of right-sizes the operation there. And it relocates the international arrival, which is disconnected from the main terminal now, and connects that to the main terminal. So that helps on processing, that helps on passenger flow, and that helps on airline operations. So, you know, going forward, hopefully that makes us more competitive for attracting international service and, you know, greater flight capacity that way. So it's a good project that takes two older facilities that we've had, you know, one built in 1975, one built in 1969. Instead of investing in those older facilities, we're updating and modernizing it for, you know, better future growth.
Yeah, which the modern traveler expects. They expect modern ways to get around, and it's needed. As you look at the expectations from that modern traveler, in recent years, how has that changed from loyalty to specific airlines to specific operators? Like, how do you see that change, especially with technology?
Sure. You know, Milwaukee's had a unique history with air travel, having, you know, carriers like, you know, local hometown carriers like Midwest and then other, you know, hubs here and things like that. So that dynamic, I think, has changed. The technology's come along with that. You know, you have a lot more access to information, like we talked about earlier. You know, airlines can update you much more quickly. You got your boarding pass there. And I think those things, you know, help streamline travel. It makes it just a bit easier to know what's going on. I mean, you can sit on the plane and check to see if your bags are checked onto the plane. So, you know, there's a lot of information points that you can get. You can also see and compare pricing better, you know, now, and look at different travel options. You know, what makes the most sense? How do you want to, you know, navigate that travel experience? So we're always looking at, you know, that those are things that are happening on the airline side. We're looking at things that improve the journey as well on the airport side, you know, whether that's things like advanced ordering. You know, you can get out of the car, you know, and order Starbucks, for example, and pick that up on your way and not have to wait in line. So, you know, we have a parking app that you can reserve parking space in high volume time periods like we're coming up on. And you can have some certainty that, you know, you're going to have parking available. I mean, so
convenience is still a big differentiator for MKE. And do you sell that into the airlines and into the traveler? Is that part of the cost benefit analysis?
That's definitely what we try to inform people, and that's what we really try to emphasize with all the folks that work at the airport, whether they're, you know, working for the airport or the TSA or the concessions, is to try to make that travel experience a good one, you know, and a good customer service experience. You know, our wait times through TSA is low, you know, certainly compared to our friends to the south.
Right.
And so, you know, that's what we want people to, you know, hopefully feel that benefit of. It, you know, you might have to connect, but at the same time, your travel experience out of Milwaukee is going to be a heck of a lot easier.
And from the leadership level, how do you balance those needs? I mean, you have a lot of stakeholders, right? Mm-hmm. You have the airlines, the passengers, local businesses, county government. How, from an operational standpoint, do you balance all those needs?
You know, it's kind of trying to understand what the needs of those individuals and those groups are, right? And again, have that focus on customer service, and that really, I think, translates on all those lines. You know, it's not only the traveler that we're trying to make their journey easier, but you know, we're trying to instill pride in this as the hometown community airport. And you know, that I think is important for elected officials. That's important for a lot of people. It's important for us to showcase the city, and so, you know, that's why we do the partnerships with the concessionaires.
I mean, the show is all about civic pride and community building, and I would say if you're going to cheer for your hometown team, cheer for your hometown airport, and do everything you can to fly out of MKE. And, you know, it may sometimes be a couple more bucks, but you got to factor in time, and you got to factor in the convenience, and I don't know, you got to be loyal to your city.
Exactly. And that's, you know, when you talk about, it might be a little more in the airfare, but then there's all those other costs, right? It's going to be more parking costs in Chicago. It's going to be travel time. It's going to be uncertainty. So, you know, when you factor all those things in, frankly, a lot of times we come out ahead of the game.
Yeah. And speaking of kind of future improvements, are there other innovations and customer service improvements that are coming to MKE?
There's a few things we're looking at, we just got to kind of see how that might work for our airport. You know, we're looking at I'm looking at ways to try to, again, always make that travel journey easier. And, you know, there's things we're looking at with how to maybe drop off bags ahead of time. Things we're doing. Actually, we just went through our budget process and got approved a parking guidance system that will help identify where available parking is. So, you know, you spend less time driving around the parking structure and, you know, makes that a little bit easier, more friendly.
And then holiday outlook, busiest travel days and routes this season, and then the tips that you would have to make sure that it is truly a seamless process for us.
You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, so usually the Wednesday before, Tuesday and Wednesday before, tend to be some pretty heavy travel days, and then that Sunday thereafter is a really busy day. And then, you know, it kind of takes a little bit of a break, and then we start hitting into the Christmas, and then the post Christmas travel season, the kind of the getaway season. And you know, I think that the message for people on some of those busier times is just take a little more time. You know, utilize things like our parking app to reserve your spot. Know that you have that taken care of. Those are things that'll help de-stress the whole experience. You know, just know that those are a little bit heavier volume time periods. And you know, if you arrive a little bit earlier, it'll make your journey a little bit better.
Very good. Appreciate all you do, you and your team at the airport, for sure.
Thank you.
And appreciate your time, Brian.
All right. Thank you very much.
Finally, a reminder on an event this coming week, Tuesday, November 18th, from noon to 1 p.m. You can walk the section of I-794 to envision what replacement or removal may look like. This is a really cool event. The event starts and ends at the Stone Creek Factory Cafe at 422 North 5th Street. I always say, if you really want to see what development looks like from the street level, you got to walk the streets. So let's not make any rash decisions or perceptions of what taking down a freeway may look like or may not look like. First, let's walk the area and envision what it could be. This is a great opportunity to rethink 794 from the team, Rethink 794. It's a community-driven initiative led by local advocates and volunteer professionals who will walk you through the corridor to paint the picture of what the future of downtown could look like. Thanks for joining us today. All future episodes and all current episodes of The Upswing are available on WTMJ.com, wherever you get podcasts, or you can text UPSWING to 855-616-1620.